This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carman Show on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send them hot, at Ken Carman, C-A-R-M-A-N. Week two in the NFL, almost nearly in the books. Some teams in trouble, some teams making a statement already in week two. One of those teams, the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. I'm rooting for Patrick Mahomes, and I'll tell you why coming up, fully why in a bit, but real quick on Patrick Mahomes. I root for him because it makes me need to switch around my brain when we get ready for draft talk, because then he's one more example. He's one more example of a guy who did it differently. Because I'll admit, yeah, I watched Patrick Mahomes in college, and I'm going, man, I've seen this offense before at Texas Tech. I've seen this type of thing before at Texas Tech. It wasn't Patrick Mahomes. And he's got defenses are eventually going to adjust, and then he's going to have to adjust over those defenses. So it's not like all of a sudden he's out of the woods and he's never going to have a bad game. And maybe he can do that, and maybe he won't. But the reason I pull for him is because when I saw Patrick Mahomes, and this was something I was so afraid of during that time, when I saw him, I wasn't afraid of him. I was afraid of Texas Tech. I was afraid of the Big 12. We all have preconceived notions. There's always neighborhoods in our cities that we won't go to because there's preconceived notions. Even though if we go in there, and yeah, it might not be as nice as some other neighborhoods, or it might be a little bit too white in some neighborhoods, or whatever reason it might be, you might still find some good folks in that neighborhood. Also, still might not be a good reason to go in neighborhoods just because you want to go find something different, but we all have preconceived notions, and we have to switch our brains to understand that people can be different from environment. And a lot of times, environment can lead you down different paths and maybe lead you astray and lead you towards whatever might behavior you might be set up for. But it's also can show you that a person can be different. So if Patrick Mahomes ends up being different, you can use that as an example. Say 6 years from now, if Patrick Mahomes is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, some other kid's coming from Baylor or some other kid's coming from the Big 12, and I may look at it and go, you know, Big 12. No, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, well, Bob Griffin, no, Baker Mayfield. Like, you might feel differently there. Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, those type of things. So the reason I like Patrick Mahomes isn't just because I'm some Patrick Mahomes fan. Not really at all. But it changes the conversation. It elongates it. It really makes it more fun. And so Patrick Mahomes, in turn, doing this, makes the conversation about quarterbacks more fun. Another team that made a statement today, the Jacksonville Jaguars at home. When Jacksonville's good, you take all those Gator fans and you turn them into Jacksonville fans again, and it actually becomes a pretty fun environment. When people are showing up, it becomes a pretty fun environment. Today was a fun game for Jacksonville. Kicked ass, played well defensively, and I was skeptical about Jacksonville coming in. I did have them as a playoff team, but I was skeptical about Jacksonville coming into the season because to put everything on your defense and to put everything on a running game, you're eventually going to have to rely on a quarterback. If Blake Bortles can come anywhere near duplicating what he did today in big moments, Jacksonville has a serious look at it. He was great today and stared down the eye of the devil going against Tom Brady, who will rip off his mask and give you a fatality like Scorpion in Mortal Kombat and not even think twice about it. He stared him down and he beat him. And it's week two, and some people say, well, it's only week two, including Patriots fans. But they made a statement. They made a statement that it's a complete team, that they can do this the right way, that Doug Marrone is really a hell of a coach, and Tom Coughlin knows how to coach a team and obviously knows how to build a team. And for the Patriots, I don't think it was a statement of, oh, God, 1-1, and now the wheels are going to come off. We've done that dance way too many times. Until his legs actually come off his body, or until his brain just becomes total mush, and he's not able to function, or until he actually hangs it up, Tom Brady is Tom Brady. And what Tom Brady is an all-time legend who will steal your soul. We've done this so many times before. The guy's a kook. He is better conditioned. He's on a different level. And until he really, truly shows anything different, it's not over for the New England Patriots. So there will be hot takes tomorrow. They're all just hot takes for hot takes' sake. There's other better hot takes out there, and we have some on the phones. 855-212-4CBS. Frank in Cleveland. Frank, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, Ken, good to talk to you again. I got three quick takes. First of all, it's official. God hates the Browns. It's official for sure.
God hates the Browns. All right.
It's proven. That's a fact. Now it's not even. That's
now
not
why
even
is now why would God? You think about this. Why would God hate the Browns? What did the Browns do to God?
I have no idea, but he sure hates them. I tell you what, they can't win for anything. Second thing,
okay.
This is also official. Due to loyalty. I guess the same type of loyalty he had to Zach Smith. Urban Meyer cost the Buckeyes not one but two national championships by sticking with JT Parrott for 4 years. Haskins is unbelievable. You put him, you let him play or someone like him play on the 2015 team, probably the greatest assembly of professional talent in the history of college football on one team. Joey Bosa, Mike Thomas, Zeke Elliott, Taylor Decker, trying to think. There's like eight or nine starting players from that team, 2015. They couldn't repeat. They didn't even make the playoffs because of his loyalty to JT Barrett.
Well, he's a 15, 16, 17, 18. So you'd have to be 18 in there, so it would be 16, 17, and 18. He's a redshirt sophomore, so he's been there 3 years.
Yep.
So he's been there 3 years, so you have to go back to the last few years. We do this the same way with quarterbacks and with like Baker Mayfield, Frank, is I can't guarantee that the guy's ready. If the guy wasn't ready and he wasn't ready to run the offense at a high clip, you're hurting Dwayne Haskins and you're hurting the Buckeyes.
Yeah, well, listen.
You'll disagree, I understand.
Saban at halftime of the national championship game pulled his ineffective starter, stuck a player in who hadn't played at all except for maybe some mop-up duty. How'd that turn out for Saban?
That's what makes Saban the best coach
in college football.
It wasn't like JT. JT Barrett isn't the best passer that ever lived, but good God, let's not act like he was total garbage. JT's not garbage. He was a record holder.
Now, if you follow Bill Connelly, look at the statistics. He said against the scrub teams, fabulous. JT better win you as many games as you want to win. In his six losses, he was absolutely horrid.
Who are the scrub teams? Because if you're Ohio State, you're going to play a lot of teams that aren't as good as you. It is Ohio State.
Well, sure. I mean, we play a lot of scrub teams. You know, the Northwesterns, Indiana's, Purdue's. He's great. Listen, I can prove it to you, Ken. How many quarterback runs did JT Barrett have against Rutgers last year? I already looked it up. He had 15 quarterback runs.
Thank you.
How many did Dwayne Haskins have? Zero. You don't need to run the read option to get your quarterback beat to crap playing Rutgers.
But if it's a different set of circumstances, I still can't. Again, we're looking back towards the guy's own personal maturity. If Dwayne Haskins isn't ready, if I don't feel Dwayne Haskins is ready, then why would I play Dwayne Haskins? It was the same thing. Tua Tagovailoa, I guess, was ready to go into the national championship that got a hot hand. But if Tua Tagovailoa could go in during the national championship, was he able to go in during the rest of the season before that? Could they have avoided anything before that? I mean, we're looking over this. Go ahead. What's the theory?
I have a theory. I think Urban Meyer's ego is so large. He's the one who picked JT Barrett over Cardale Jones. Cardale Jones won a national championship and was benched the next year. And he was benched the next year because Urban Meyer's ego was so big that he was going to prove to everyone that he made the original right choice when he picked JT Barrett over
Cardale. He also wasn't sure about JT Barrett. He didn't know whether or not he was going to transfer or not. Frank, I got to let you go. You're right about that. Urban Meyer has an ego. That's absolutely founded and true. Absolutely does. Cardale Jones, if he was coming back to Cleveland, I personally, and this is a theory, I think Cardale Jones was going to make that announcement and was going to say that he was going to go to the NFL, and Urban talked him out of it because he didn't know if JT Barrett was going to stay or transfer. And so he needed to cover his ass in some way. JT Barrett decides to stick around. Everything else goes the other way, and you see what happens with Ohio State. Which, by the way, brings me to another point. I know it's right after football games, and I'll probably get skewered for this. I had a real problem with the Buckeyes. Or not the Buckeyes last night. I had a real problem with the Big Ten yesterday. And if you're a Big Ten fan, if you're a, you know what, if you're a Penn State fan, if I'm talking to you as a Penn State fan, or, well, I can't say Wisconsin right now, and I guess I can't say, well, if you know what, if you're a Michigan fan, you should be holding your football team to a higher standard. So you know what, I'm still talking to you too. Because it's become tiresome to try to give good credence to the Big Ten and to have the Big Ten consistently let you down. It's become tiresome to try to look at this conference as an up-and-down juggernaut or as an up-and-down threat and to try to give them the respect that we think that they deserve and for them to constantly let you down. And yeah, I get it. I know. I've said so many things against the ACC over these last couple of years and said, you know, it's really a basketball conference when you have Clemson up there at the top. Just Clemson happens to be really, really good. And I know I've said that the SEC is the biggest farce in college football because, and this is before what's gone on with Kirby Smart in Georgia, by the way, but the SEC was the biggest farce in college football, and basically it was just because a couple of goofballs who still don't think the Confederate War ever ended, or the Civil War ever ended and still fight for the Confederacy, are still thinking that, well, the SEC will all just band together and that's the way it's going to be. And I've convinced you of that for time. I've tried to convince you of that time and time again, and I haven't really had to put a whole lot of thought into what the Big Ten has been, because I've looked at the SEC in the past, and I have gone right after the SEC. Vanderbilt being the school that is the quintessential academic school, good Southern academic school. It's where you want to send your kid if he's going to major in something that's going to make him a lot of money off the football field. So, of course, you always want to feel that way about a school like Vanderbilt. With Mississippi State, they're good with Dan Mullen, and maybe they'll have some residuals, and we'll see how much better they're better at it. But really, it feels like it's a high school stadium because they wave cowbell or they swing cowbells while they're there. Florida's too busy blaming Urban Meyer for everything. Georgia had too much talent, not enough coaching before Kirby Smart got there. Tennessee still misses Phil Fulmer. How many different coaches have you been through? Kentucky's always waiting for basketball season. Mizzou's always in a tremendous transition, and maybe, just maybe, are starting to get it figured out, but probably picked the wrong conference to go to because they might have went to something a little easier and maybe went to the Big Ten and still made a hell of a lot of money, but nobody wanted to say that. And South Carolina skins it out on their leather ass with Will Muschamp. Alabama's the only team you can count on. Ole Miss, anytime they win any more than seven games, somebody's getting paid. A&M, still busy watching Johnny Manziel highlights and trying to pay off the Piper with trying to get Jimbo Fisher in there. Arkansas, too worried about everybody else's coaches except for their own coach and except for not even covering on punts like they did this weekend. LSU, always worried about firing their own coach, never really worried about winning football games. Auburn, too worried about Alabama. Mississippi State, again, just blah. You can't get the time right on anything. I've went over and over and over again, just right off the top of my head, about these teams in the SEC. And I turn around, and if I'm going to be up here and I'm going to look at the SEC and say, well, you know, you guys got this thing going on down there, this whole Southern culture of the SEC. Well, when the Big Ten starts to lose, you got to look at the Big Ten. Because what happened yesterday was an out-and-out disgrace. Kansas, and I like the Kansas is 2-1. I don't like seeing a team that plays in a Power 5 conference be that bad for that long. But at home against Rutgers, against a team that was led into the conference simply because of the television market, should boil a Big Ten fan's blood. I know that Ohio State fans don't care at all about Michigan fans, and they shouldn't care at all about Michigan fans, and you hate Michigan fans. But the committee has made it dead serious about this. If you, and maybe not because it was such an upset, it was such a big, big loss to Iowa last year. If you have a Michigan team that comes into that game at 10-1 or 11-0, you're possibly a playoff team. If you have a Michigan team that makes the game exceptional again, you are a playoff team, or whoever wins that game, almost no matter what, is going to the playoffs in that moment. If you're an Ohio State fan, your blood should boil. If you're a Penn State fan, your blood should boil because you've churned out a good product. Yeah, I know. They almost lost to App State a couple of weeks ago. App State's a quality program is the first week of the season. Give App State the credit where they're due. But you have Penn State, which has turned into a quality product from absolute hellish circumstances, have actually built something that has turned into something very, very good. And because their name's not Michigan, no one wants to get them credit. And they're my last bastion because I used to be able to rely on Wisconsin. And after yesterday, I can't even rely on Wisconsin. So when I'm trying to make an argument for a conference, when you don't let me make an argument for you, then you're going to draw my ire. Because it's hard to make good arguments for a conference when you're consistently a letdown. When you have these teams that, when you have a team like Ohio State, which is only the only team really that's able to carry the flag, and even they can't stay out of their own way. Well, Urban Meyer's doing interviews on ESPN, and they can't get out of their own way and not force their fans to do mental gymnastics on moral decisions when it comes to domestic violence. Indiana's a basketball school, and any time that they're any good, it's when their coach beats up players, and that coach is now at Ohio State, which is some weird degree, and I wrote this down earlier because I thought about it, is a 6 degrees of Norman Dale. It's the only thing I actually thought to write down because I wanted to tweet it. Because you are in Indiana. Penn State, they'll be taken a lot more seriously if they ever change their name to Michigan. Sad but true. Michigan, they got more excuses than wins with Jim Harbaugh, and I don't even think they should fire him. I don't think that he should leave. I want him to stay in Michigan because he's the last bastion of anything I think that can actually get it done. If Jim Harbaugh can't get things going at Michigan, I sincerely, for the first time, really worry about the future of Michigan football. He's supposed to be a Michigan man. He was a good college football coach before he went to the NFL, and then even after the NFL, if he can't get that thing, and I mean to the true power of 11-win seasons, 12-win seasons, undefeated, beating Ohio State, playing for national championships. If he can't do it, I don't know where you look. You have all this money. You have all these resources. The campus is beautiful. I don't know where else you go. And I've heard every single thing about Jim Harbaugh that you can find, from the pleated pants to the weird recruiting sleepover trips to the shirtless catch to the afraid chicken animal things. I'm tired of hearing excuses from Michigan football. It's time to win because you drag the rest of the conference down. And what Michigan football doesn't realize is that they're the most powerful team in the conference for all those reasons I just said. Ohio State could afford to lose a game. They can't afford to lose games now. They could afford to lose games if Michigan was really good going into that game. The committee, if they prove anything over and over again, they adore history. But the rest of these teams in this conference, you can't count on. Northwestern is officially a basketball school. They lost yesterday to a school, an academic school like Northwestern, lost to a school that accepted me as a student and allowed me to graduate with a degree as a student from them. That enough should tell you that they shouldn't be playing football or have any business losing to those teams. Iowa can never, ever let go of Kirk Ferentz because I seriously fear that they will fall into the same inept suckitude as what most of the rest of the conference fall into, because the only thing that they really have to look forward to is the corn yields every single year, and that's the only thing that they have to really recruit on. That in Kevin Costner movies. So you better hold on to Kirk Ferentz. Minnesota, I have very little nasty to say about Minnesota because they're very nice people in Minnesota, and I happen to like P.J. Fleck. Illinois, basically, you have Coach Klein from the Waterboy coaching your team, and every home game should be a Juice Williams day, so more than just drunk students go to your games. Wisconsin, you lost to Camp Randall at home to a bunch of 25-year-old married men. Basically, you lost to a rec league softball team. I tell you to go put a keg out at the 50-yard line, but they don't even drink at BYU, and that would be mean-spirited. Nebraska, I don't know. Maybe you got to try to find ways to put new organs into Tom Osborne and turn back the clock to when he was 28 years old all over again and try it again. Because the ghost of Tom Osborne, it's only been two games. I get it, and I hope it changes because Scott Frost is a likable guy and a likable coach. But it ain't working so far. Matt Canada is going to Wally Pitt Maryland, and nobody seems to care because neither of their names are Gary Williams. Rutgers only is in the conference because of their TV market. They're basically a friend that you have that's a total idiot, but his dad's rich, so he's allowed to do anything and be a moron. Basically, Rutgers in this conference in the Big Ten is the equivalent to Tommy Boy or Billy Madison. So if you're an Ohio State fan, or especially a Penn State fan, you should be as upset as anybody because the rest of these teams are an albatross around your neck. The SEC gets away with it because Nick Saban is a god. The ACC gets away with it because people like Dabo Swinney and they like the story that Clemson is. Ohio State always has a target on its back. Penn State certainly had a target on its back. And because Michigan has not been Michigan over the last decade plus, you're just not going to get the respect that you believe you deserve, especially when you're losing to Akron at home. Stop falling all over yourself. You've recruited better athletes. They've been drafted higher. They've been better. This is unacceptable as a major conference. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up next, it's why we actually celebrate tanking. Because the only thing worse than losing is having your time wasted. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
I make this short and sweet. It's why we actually condone tanking. Because it's what we saw with the Giants tonight against the Cowboys. Because I'll tell you what, 0-2 ain't good no matter how you break it down. What is more palpable to you? Or what is more palatable to you? Not palpable, palatable. What is easier to take? 0-2 with a rookie first-round quarterback sitting behind a 39-year-old and waiting to take over the reins? Or 0-2 with a number 2 overall pick running back who's basically wasting his time and wasting your time as a fan? Fans can deal with losing, and that's why I hate tanking culture. I hate it, especially with basketball and the NBA. Like, I know that it probably, for a lot of terms, is the best way to do the business, even though there's been plenty of teams that have built it up a different way. And I know everybody hates Golden State, and they never really... there's been a couple of lean years, but they never really tanked it out. Okay, maybe one. But other than that, it wasn't like they tanked it out to get Steph Curry or they tanked it out to get Draymond Green or Klay Thompson. But that's for a different discussion. I whisper it to you because no one ever wants to believe that. They get mad when you tell them the truth about the Warriors.
But it's why we celebrate tanking culture, because it's a promise for something better, because you don't want to have your time wasted. No one wants to sit there and grind it out and lose and just keep losing. There's always that hope for something in the future. But when Dave Gettleman takes Saquon Barkley number 2 overall, you're telling the world your plan is to win now. You have a draft class that has 5 guys go in the first round. You take none of them. You took Saquon Barkley. And the first thing is, okay, Saquon Barkley is a hell of an athlete. And actually did not have a bad game. Had, what, 15 catches tonight? 70-plus yards through the air? What exactly were the numbers, Hickey? You could say them into the mic if you got them right off the top.
He's fielding calls. I'll look them up.
Okay, I think it was 70-plus yards through the air, 15 catches out of the backfield. They completely turned off the faucet running the ball, but that's because the offensive line sucks. But that's the point. If it's a build and the offensive line sucks and the quarterback's old and you don't know how good the quarterback's really going to be even though he's old, what's the point? Because I'll point this out to you. No one likes their time wasted, and no one likes to waste the time of the player that they have that's only going to have a finite amount of time. So what is easier to take? A 39-year-old quarterback at 0-2, where you know you have a round one quarterback waiting in the wings, and you can argue about that if you want to, on whether or not to play him. Or Saquon Barkley, which tells you you're supposed to win right now, losing games, and the only thing you're doing is ripping off numbers off the sheet like you're at a deli on how many carries he has left in his life, how many receptions he has left in his life, how many plays. Because when you have a guy like that, it's why I'll go after the Cowboys if they don't start to transform this year and they're 1-1. Because you have those guys, Zeke Elliott, Saquon Barkley, playing in the division, going head-to-head tonight. Both of those guys, to make that work, you got to make the postseason. It has to be worth it. Because you can develop running backs in the 3rd and 4th and 5th rounds and so on and so forth. You can develop guys to be helps for you. But a guy like Saquon Barkley and Zeke Elliott, you're good to go. There's no developing there. You have to come in and immediately help them win. And if you don't, I look right at your general manager. And for Dave Gettleman, I'm looking right at you, Hoss. Because you might have missed a golden opportunity. Saquon Barkley might be a great player for a long period of time or for 7 or 8 years. Is it what a quarterback can get you? I don't know. You're the guy who had Cam Newton. You tell me. 855-212-4CBS. Your calls and around the NFL coming up next as we finish things off.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Final segment of the night. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. At CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, it's brought to you by Geico. Hey, I got great news. You can save 50% or more on car insurance when you switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, save 50% or more on car insurance. Want to get to the phones, and we'll go around the NFL, finish up the show.
Want to get to Drew in Maryland. He's been patient. He wants to talk about the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell. Drew, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Ken, how you doing?
Drew, I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for asking.
Cool, man. So I'm a little fired up right now about two things. Number one, Le'Veon Bell, picked him first in my fantasy, and the Steelers, I mean, not coming away with any kind of win, tie or loss or whatever. It's just
you picked him first in your fantasy. You picked him first in your fantasy. You picked him first in your fantasy, Drew.
I was the second round. I was the second pick overall. Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Drew. That sucks. There's no other way to go around that one.
It's brutal. But what you were talking earlier about wasting time and losing, and there's nothing worse than that. And I think that's exactly what's happened with Le'Veon Bell here. Why can't you just pay the man the money he's looking for? Give him the years. He's only 26 years old, and you just put up an abysmal 33 rushing yards, like abysmal, and you're 0-1-1, you know?
Well,
like,
their problem was is they're down 21-0 to start the season, start the game, and so immediately you're in pass mode. But once it's 21-21 at halftime, you got Ben Roethlisberger. I don't know why you can't run the ball in the second half. I think that they were calling plays, and they were doing it emotionally instead of doing it cerebrally the way it was supposed to be done, Drew. I think that in an old wrestling term, Drew, and thank you for the call, I think the Steelers got themselves worked into a shoot. And in the terms of Le'Veon Bell, everybody, including Aditi Kinkabwala, keeps wanting to tell me that he's all about his money. In the words of Corey Bapes, he's about his dough, he's about his bread. Well, if you're all about your money, then take your $853,000 a game. Because I still think it's counterintuitive. If he comes back by the end of the month, maybe it helps out a little bit differently. If you keep this going on, this charade going on, I think it's only going to be counterintuitive to you and goes against your business. You're trying to prove some point. The Steelers are a mess right now. Again, Bud Dupree is more worried about sending people nasty messages on Instagram than he is about actually playing football. Yeah, Bud, you've been a bust. I don't know other way to say it. Popcorn muscles at Kentucky, popcorn muscles at Pittsburgh. I don't know what else to put out there. It's just the truth. Got stoned out last week for the most part, got stoned out this week. And for Le'Veon Bell, I look into the Steelers situation. You've paid how many guys on that offense now? You've paid a bunch of guys on the defense. I know he wanted a long-term deal. We're going around in circles here. If it's not going to work, it's not going to work. But the Steelers, to me, look like an organization or look like a football team right now, 2 weeks into the season, that looks like they are falling under the weight of their own expectations. DJ in Vegas, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
What's up, Ken?
Hi, DJ.
What did I tell you last week?
I don't remember, DJ. It's been a long week.
I told you the Steelers are going to fall apart, and I said they're going to be calling for Le'Veon, and what happened?
Oh, we did just get a call calling for Le'Veon, so there you go.
I'm telling you, that organization, right? You hear from a lot of people out here in Vegas, you talked about Steelers fans and stuff, and they're saying they want Tomlin gone.
I just always worry about that because being in the division, they've had, three coaches in 50 years?
Yeah.
You start chasing that dragon, you just got to be careful. Now, some coaches, they just don't have a long shelf life, or not as long a shelf life as 20-something years like you had with Chuck Nolan, like you had with Bill Cowher.
Now, throughout Tomlin's tenure, was that probably the worst defensive game you've seen by them?
They've had a couple of clunkers. They had that one where Tampa Bay went up there a couple years ago and beat them in their own home stadium, and Tampa Bay was a bad team. They've had a couple of weird defensive clunkers for a team that's historically prided themselves on great defense.
And you got to look at it this way, that Ken, is, Dorsey built the Chiefs the way – if you look at it, the way the Browns are being built, you got the tight end. I think Callaway is going to be good. I think Callaway is – he's the future for the Browns wide receivers. I mean, he looks like he might be something special here.
As long as he lays off the weed, that's all he's got to do is stay off the weed.
And that's typical for the Browns. You're going to have to worry about off-field issues again with the player that's – I mean, he looks like – I can see why they're letting Gordon go. I think they've realized we've got something here.
Well, when they've done that, and DJ, I got to run. I want to try to get to one more. Let me just say this, and thank you for the call. Is Josh Gordon had to do something egregious for them to let him go. The other thing of it is that any team is going to have to worry. They're not choir boys. It's a professional football team. It's a job just like any other, and you're going to want to take risks on certain guys. The Browns have been taking a risk on Josh Gordon for 6 years. This guy's a little bit new. He's a little bit different, and that's exactly what they're saying, is that he's part of the future of that franchise. And they need any future they can get because it feels like they're close right now. 855-212-4CBS. Let me get to Chris in Michigan. You're next up on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey.
Hi, Chris.
Hey. First time calling.
Glad to have you.
Just got a quick question that I'm going to let you answer. But, you know, I lived in Michigan all my life. I'm 52 years old. And stopped being a fan of Michigan when I was like, before I was 10, because all there ever was the hype. And I wonder, why does the committee want Michigan to be good?
Well, they've won a national championship in the last 20 years. They've won a national championship in 20 years.
You mean the one that should have went to Nebraska?
Well, still, they still won a national championship. Well, those were different days.
That's before they had to play the better teams, you know. They'd go out and they'd play like USC and UCLA and the Rose Bowl, and that was it. If they went undefeated,
yeah,
they would be champions.
Chris, I still can't understand it. And you know what? I asked the same question here. Did you want to make another comment? Go ahead, Chris. Got to make it quick.
Well, it's kind of like the Notre Dame. You know, when they made up the rules for the BCS, as long as Notre Dame's in the top 10, they will get to go to a bowl.
There you go.
You know, and
that's why you got to stay independent.
It must be this committee is all secretly Michigan fans, I guess. let you go.
Chris, thank you very much for the call. I don't know. I just think it's a question of how Michigan, you have Jordan Brand, you have all the money in the world, the stadium's beautiful. The campus is beautiful. I've been to Ann Arbor. You have history. I don't know why you haven't been able to put it together since Lloyd Carr. I mean, really have sustainability. Lloyd Carr won, what, 9 games this last year? Maybe he won less than that. That wasn't enough for Michigan. And now you'd like, okay, 9 wins, 10 wins. Like, that's still not enough for Michigan. You're hoping that it can be more. I can't explain it. Because I look at Michigan and so many people want to go, well, why is Michigan struggling? Why have they been struggling? I don't know. Why has Texas been struggling? Why can't USC get out of their own way? Clay Helton's on the hot seat again. You had a game last night that was supposed to be, that should have been the gem. That should have blown Ohio State TCU off the map. They should have played Ohio State TCU in the middle of the afternoon when you have a game like Texas and USC on national television on Fox. They didn't get nearly the return it should have. A rematch of the 2006 National Championship game. Those two teams waking up the memories of those. Matthew McConaughey down there on the sidelines, and no one gave a damn other than those two fan bases last night. Are we ready to go around the league? We got to go quick. Let's do it, Hick. All right. Go, Hick, go!
We'll start quickly in an AFC South divisional matchup. Falcons rebound after losing to the Eagles in opening night, 31-24 over the Panthers.
Matt Ryan has exercised the demons of the red zone. A wonderful job by Matt Ryan. A wonderful job by the Falcons to get going in the right direction for the Panthers. I don't know. They keep saying they want to let Cam run. You got to let Cam run, even though, took some shots today. They had a guy thrown out of that game. Next.
Texans and Titans battled in the AFC South to avoid an 0-2 start.
Should Bill O'Brien be on the hot seat?
After this 0-2 start, I would say yes.
Ooh.
It pains me to say it.
Blaine Gabbert was 13-20 with a touchdown. I'm sorry to cut you off right there. Deshaun Watson, let me ask you this. Do you need wins, or are you just happy Deshaun Watson is healthy if you're a Texans fan? I think you need wins. It's not about wasting time anymore, right? He seems to be able to do the gusto, and he's been perfectly fine the first two games. I think you need wins. That's a disappointment. Next!
Speaking of quarterbacks coming off injury, Andrew Luck and the Colts go into Washington 21-9 victories. Luck throws for 2 touchdowns and 179 yards.
Andrew Luck's just such a fine model American. You're happy to see him win. You're happy to see him play well. And Alex Smith, even though he didn't score any touchdowns, he was still pretty good in his own right, even though the Redskins were a dud. But happy for Andrew Luck that he got himself a win. Next.
Patrick Mahomes continues the miracle story. 6 touchdowns, 326 yards. The Chiefs go into Pittsburgh 42-37 over the Steelers.
Quarterbacks are people. They're not products, and they're not going to be the same. And I had to unscrew my brain and realign it, especially if Patrick Mahomes ends up being good, because I wasn't afraid of Patrick Mahomes. Friends, I was wrong. And why I was wrong? Because I saw the TT on the helmet, and I went, Big 12, Texas Tech, no way. And I ended up being wrong on that. And I've already told you what I felt about the Steelers. Next!
How about Ryan Fitzpatrick? Back-to-back games, 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. The Buccaneers, 2-0. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 2-0, 27-21 over the Eagles.
Do you keep Ryan Fitzpatrick instead of Jameis Winston if they go to 3-0? I say yes.
Yes, ride the hot hand.
And the Eagles, maybe a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover, but they look like they're getting Carson Wentz in week three, so they have a decision to make now. Next.
Sam Darnold went for his home opener at MetLife Stadium, but the Dolphins came in there. They upset the Jets in their home opener.
Blame it on that.
It's a 12.
Yeah, blame it on that clown, Fireman Ed. If you're a Jets fan, that's who you should be blaming. I don't know how you retire as a fan. I don't know how that any of that works, how you retire as a fan. Like, what do you do with a pension? Do we see him in a commercial for, like, the Prudential where he's just wearing regular clothes watching a Jets game? How are you retiring as a fan at all? Well, when things were down, I'm gone. But now he's going to be back? No. That's not how that works. You don't lead chance at a stadium and then decide to come back when you guys think you have your second coming. Dolphins stoned him. Adam Gase did a good job. Dolphins are out to a 2-0 start. Give him hell. Next.
Josh Allen made his first career start for the Bills. The Chargers came in. Phillip Rivers, 3 touchdown passes as they beat the Bills 31-20.
For you Bills fans, at least it didn't snow, and at least Josh Allen didn't get killed. Next.
Vikings and Packers battled to a 29-29 tie as Minnesota missed 3 field goals, including 2 in overtime.
Never draft kickers. Don't allow... Friends don't let friends draft kickers. Don't allow your team to do it. I'd rather develop any other position. It's the only position you take a guy in the 5th round or later, and you put him in a position to win a game for you. It's the only one. Next.
Saints beat the Browns 21-18. We'll leave it at that.
I just keep getting Browns questions about. I don't know what. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to make this the Browns postgame show. I get calls from Cleveland. I got to take calls from Cleveland. I'm not going to say anything nasty about Zane Gonzalez or Daniel Carlson for that matter, because I know they were both trying to hit those kicks. They weren't missing them on purpose. The Saints, it leaves a Saints question, a Saints fan questions. Are you good? Are you going to be okay? Are you bad? Or are the Browns bad? Because the Browns look like they could be good, but then again, it is the Browns. So a Saints fan, I don't know if you sleep any easier tonight. Next.
Jimmy G, 2 touchdowns as the Lions fall to 0-2 under Matt Patricia, 30-27.
Oh, man. Thank God you got that going, Jimmy, because I had the narrative ready. Oh, did I have the narrative ready. But instead, I have to go against Matt Patricia. Kate, make sure your hat is the right way at all times. Next.
We'll group these last 4 games together, running low on time. Rams beat the Cardinals 34-0.
Good on the Rams.
Broncos, last-second field goal over the Raiders, 20-19.
They should have kept Khalil Mack. Next.
Jaguars take control of the AFC, 31-20.
Jags made a statement. Next.
And Giants, 0-2, fall to the Cowboys, 2013.
Should have drafted a quarterback. That does it for the week. Big thanks to everybody back in New York. Big thanks to everybody who called. Big thanks to everybody who was a guest. I'm Ken Carmen. Have a wonderful week, my friends.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.